Well, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Women's Bible Study. This is Robin Atherton joining you all, and I have Karen Hocker and Megan Atherton with me. Hello. Gideon tonight, so give me just a minute, and I'll put the song to rest for a while. And do I have you both still with me?
Yes, you have me. I'm here.
All right, well, it's nice to have you up. And how were your days?
My day was okay. It is getting better now, though. Getting together with some brethren, it's always fun.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I agree. So I'm trying to, somehow I lost the, there it is.
Welcome.
Alrighty. So I have the chat up, and I think we're ready to go. So for those who don't know, I'm running the SAM tonight, so hopefully I'll do it right. So, as we all know, we're looking at the people that Paul notes in Hebrews chapter 11 that are a part of that great cloud of witnesses. Hold on one second. Oops. Would you all like to give a little introduction while I get myself together here?
Sure. We've been studying the faith of people in the Hebrews chapter 11, and we worked on Barak last week, and I believe what we're going to be working on tonight and studying is Gideon and what he did to show his faith in the Lord and how he became one of the people that was mentioned in this chapter. And we're going to study him, and he's in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, I believe. And I don't know whether we were going to read that or not, but we'll let Robin decide what she was going to do on that. Megan, do you have anything to add?
No. Hebrews chapter 11 is it's a call to faith. It's a call to remember those who have gone before, who walked by faith, and for us now to do the likewise.
Amen. And when we look at these people, they give us a picture of what it looks like. And it is something that we can grab a hold of, so that, you know, a faith to follow. How can you follow something that you can't see? So, I don't think we're going to read the whole thing because it is long. But I do think we can start reading it, and because the chapter 6 really gives us a lot in this entrance of Gideon. So, Karen, if you'd like to start reading, as she said, we're in Judges chapter 6.
Okay, do you want me to start with 1?
Please.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice.
Okay. So, it gives us a picture of the Israelites when they had forsaken their God. And one of the things that it brings to my mind when I look at this, well, there's two things. First of all, they were invaded because the Lord, they had forsaken him, and he sold them or gave them over to the Midianites. Let's see. I guess it doesn't say that right in here. Oh, the hand of the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. And so they were broken into, in a sense. And we know that a people whose God is the Lord, there is no breaking in. And another thing about it is it really shows a people who the destroyer has entrance in to destroy. And it brought to my mind just tithing, because we know when people do not tithe, that they tithing actually is a performs the function of rebuking the destroyer and the Satan and his desire to kill, steal, and destroy. And here you have a picture of a people who were being killed, stolen from, and destroyed. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent them a prophet. And Davy wrote in the chat that he took back his grace. That grace that made up the difference when they were faithful. And so in answer to their cries, the Lord sent a prophet and called them to remembrance who their God was. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So, in those first couple of verses, we see a people crying unto the Lord, and the Lord calling them to the remembrance and bringing them to account as to why they find themselves in the state they're in. And then we move into verse 11 with God's answer. And so, Karen, if you would pick up there, I'd appreciate it.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Okay. Right there is a good starting point to see where Gideon starts. And then we're going to see where the Lord takes him in a very short period of time. Because here he is, he's threshing the wheat, and he's doing it, he's trying to have it so that he isn't seen where the Midianites would then take it all from him. So he's hiding it. He's doing it by the wine press in hiding. And the angel of the Lord comes to him, and the greeting is, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And when we look at Gideon in verse 11, that's not what we see. And I think the Gideon in verse 11 would agree with us. go ahead.
Yeah, I quite agree. That's probably not what he was thinking of himself at that moment.
So if you want to pick back up on verse 13 there.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?
Okay. So, you know, I mean, Gideon asks a question that the Lord answered up above by the prophet, and also by the word. Moses had written, had recorded from Genesis through Deuteronomy, and certainly he has the testimony here. He knows the works of the Lord. He knows that Israel is God's people and that the Lord is their God. And so he knows this. And the Lord's answer to him is to go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midians. And have not I sent thee? That is the might that Israel is to go, that Gideon is to go in, that God has sent him. Gideon, the mighty man of valor. In verse 15 there, then, if you want to pick up there, Karen?
And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto
him... That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you stop and think about a man standing there and the Lord talking with him and saying, I mean, his answer is, Surely I will be with thee. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's a kind of an overwhelming statement, I would think, to this man.
Especially when you look at the numbers of them, which were as grasshoppers for multitudes, and their camels couldn't be numbered either, which we, it was back there and comes up again.
Yeah. It's a, you have to really look at it, because you don't want to miss the magnitude of this man's response to God and God's faithfulness to his word and to his people. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, I'll just point out that we're going to see that Gideon believes God. So, Karen, if you want to pick up there on verse 17, please.
And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he wasn't...
Karen,
yes?
Just stop right there.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, I had it on my mute, so I have to unmute, too. One thing, if you go back up there in verse 17 that I thought was interesting, Gideon said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You know, Gideon needed to verify that what was happening was happening. You know what I mean? Show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And so he asks the angel of the Lord to wait, and he runs and he prepares a meal, and he brings it back to him. And the angel of God said unto him, you know, to lay it out on the rock. Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose a fire out of the rock. That's an amazing thing. You know, we know that when the Lord accepts a sacrifice like this, that it is, you see the fire come down and take it, but here the fire came right out of the rock. And when Gideon, well, if you'll pick up there then and read 22 and 23, Karen.
And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die.
Here you have, you know, a sinner who comes to recognize that he's been in the presence of the Lord and is afraid. And the Lord's answer is peace, not war, not judgment, not destruction, but peace be unto thee. Don't fear. Fear not. You're not going to die because you've been in my presence. So, and just remember, this is a matter of days that God takes this man who's threshing wheat, trying not to be seen, to the mighty man of valor, which was his initial greeting. So, if verses 24, well, 24 says, I should have let you read that. It says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord on that spot that the Lord had visited him, received his offering, and brought his peace. So if you'll pick up then on verse 25, Karen. And Megan, feel free to jump right in there.
Thank you. Will do.
And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose...
You can stop there for a moment.
Okay.
So then the Lord tells them to not only sacrifice, and he tells him what to sacrifice, his father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, but he also tells him to throw down the altar of Baal that his father has, and to cut down the grove that is by it, and to use that upon which to burn this bullock. And, you know, I've always pictured a grove as a little, pretty little planting of trees. And that's one definition of grove. But I actually looked it up this time. And a grove, in the sense that we see it in idol worship here, is Asherah, a Phoenician goddess, an image of the same. So this was a wooden image of a Phoenician goddess that was there, that had been built and was next to the altar of Baal. And the Lord tells him to tear down that altar, cut down that idol, and to offer a burnt sacrifice upon the wood of that idol, which he will cut down. And Gideon gets 10 of his family servants, and he does as the Lord says, but he does it at night because he fears his father's household and the men of that city. So you can see he's walking in obedience, but he's doing it the way he sees he can do it. You know, he's not doing it out in the open yet. He's doing it between him and the Lord. So if you pick up there then on verse 28, let me see where I'd like you to go down to. Go ahead and read through 32.
And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar.
That's a beautiful thing. The Lord calls Gideon, and he gives him instruction, and Gideon obeys. And Gideon doesn't know what the end of it's going to be. He does know what the Lord said. But if we're honest, you know, he was in a land now that worshipped another god. And the one true God was calling him to worship the one true God in the midst of that. And what Gideon didn't know was what was going to happen. And you see what happened. The men of the village came out to kill him. And I'm sure Gideon thought that might have been the end of what he did. But his father stood with him. And he stood blatantly against Baal and said, if Baal is a god, let Baal plead for himself. You know, let Baal defend himself. And if you want to, what does he say here? Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. So one man's obedience to the Lord has risen another man's remembrance. He has already stirred up a faith in his own father that his father joins him and stands with him. And he is then called Jerubbaal. How did you say that, Karen?
Jerubbaal.
Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against himself. And that was the name that Gideon was then known by. And you can see the step-by-step kind of incremental strengthening of Gideon to stand and perform that which the Lord has called him to do. It's a beautiful picture. So if you would then pick up, Karen, on verse 33.
Well, yep. That verse there reminds me of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, where he calls, they have the, 50 prophets of Baal? And, that they go on calling him from morning until till noon, and then at evening, hear us and come and take the sacrifice. And Elijah mocks them, cry louder, because he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or maybe he's sleeping. That's kind of how Joash is. And it's nice to see, as you pointed out, somebody stands up and is on the side of the Lord, some other voice than the cacophony of what everyone else is doing, stands up and people will follow. And Joash does that. This is his grove and his altar of Baal that he had, and yet here he is defending his son and not, in his pulling it down. And that's really cool.
I agree with you. It's a wonderful picture. And that is reminiscent, as you say, of Elijah standing against the very same small g god, Baal, in victory. So, Karen?
33?
Yes, thank you.
Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground.
Thank you. So we have Gideon put forth a call unto certain of the tribes of Israel to come and join him to battle against Midian. And then they come. And then he turns to the Lord. And you notice he says in verse 37 there at the end, Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So Gideon it's not that he didn't hear what the Lord said, but he is asking for surety, that he might stand with surety in it. He asks the Lord, if he puts this fleece out, that the dew that would set that night would not be on anything but the fleece. And the Lord performed that such that he could wring the fleece out into a bowl of water, into a bowl, and there was water. There was the dew that came out. That was a heavy dew on that fleece. But if you stop and think about how we are, and how we can know something and then we can doubt it in the next second. And so he asks the Lord for the exact opposite, to establish for him that it wasn't just who knows what, you know, just some natural thing that occurred. And the Lord did that. The Lord is strengthening Gideon to stand in that which the Lord has spoken. And so the very next night, the fleece was dry and all the ground was wet. So that kind of rules out some kind of natural thing that happened. They were both acts of God. And if you notice the context of Gideon's conversation with God, it is specifically to verify to Gideon that he will know for a truth that the Lord will perform that which he said unto him. And God honored Gideon's request, and he did that. So Gideon now has been bolstered up, and he's got a fair amount of people around him to go forth to perform that which the Lord has said. But the Lord's got a different plan, as we all know. And moving into Judges chapter 7, we'll let Karen begin to read it to us.
Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to...
Just stop right there, because... Yeah. So you notice here that it is important that Israel knows that God delivered them. And so he's going to work a work here, and he's going to put Gideon in a position where Gideon's going to stand and obey the Lord, and the Lord is going to show up and wrought deliverance for Israel. And there's going to be no doubt as to where that deliverance came from. And if the Lord let even smaller in number than the Midianites, but a large group of Israelites go in to fight them, they could have consumed that and said it was their own accomplishment. And so the Lord isn't going to let that happen. Go ahead.
Now therefore, go to... proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000.
And the Lord's, amazing. 32,000 people, and two-thirds of them leave because they're fearful.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe God for the victory here. But the Lord is merciful. So go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go.
One thing I thought was really interesting in this verse is the Lord is going to try the people for Gideon. So Gideon doesn't have the wisdom to do this, but the Lord is for Gideon. He is going to try the people so that Gideon has the right bunch of men with him. I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. So God is telling Gideon, okay, I'm going to try him for you. And who I tell you to take, that's who you're going to take. So Gideon is going to be required to obey the Lord in this. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So pick it up there on verse 5.
So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place.
Okay. So, there's 300 of this group of 10,000 men that the Lord chooses for Gideon. And Gideon has to let the 9,700 other men go home. And you also see here where the Lord, when he says to Gideon, he goes, you know, Gideon, there are too many people, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. So the Lord has also brought Gideon along in his ways not being our ways. And Gideon is coming along on this journey. Gideon is quick to follow the Lord. And it is a quick thing. We're talking, what, 2 days from shrinking behind a wine press to being willing to go with 300 men? And, I mean, this is a beautiful picture of a man who is walking by faith and believes God for the victory, and that what God has spoken, he is able to perform. So he sent the people that had bowed down to the water away, and the 300 men that were left with them. We will pick up there on verse 8, Karen.
So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host.
So, talk about a God who provides all of our needs. He's got a man here that is going to need to stand and to be quick to obey and to move as he leads him. And he tells him, okay, get thee up because I have delivered them into their hand. And Gideon isn't backing off. But the Lord nevertheless gives him one further surety upon which, you know, to testify that Gideon can hold on to. And that is that he says, but, how does he put it? But if thou fear, take your servant with you, go down, and you will hear what they say. And after you hear it, you will be strengthened to go down unto the host. So it's kind of a beautiful thing, too, when you look at verse 12, because you're going to see a Midianite giving an interpretation of a dream. It's a Midianite that gets slaughtered, and yet the Lord brings forth his word to shore up Gideon. So if you'll pick up there, Karen.
And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was
testimony
so.
That's another testimony also that people knew that Israel were God's people and that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was their God. And so it is not in any way a surprise that God would deliver Midian into the hand of the Israelites. We know when they went into the promised land that the people of the land knew. They had known about what had happened 40 years before when Pharaoh's armies were swallowed up in the water, in the Red Sea. This is not a hidden thing. They fight against it and they war against it, but when it comes right down to it, they know what's happening. And here you have a testimony of that. For the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So go ahead.
And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided...
I think it's worth noting that Gideon's instant response was to worship God.
Amen.
To bow himself before the Lord in worship. And then he immediately goes and he tells his men to get up, for the Lord hath delivered Midian into your hand the host. That's the armies of Midian. Like Megan had said before, not a small number. So we're going to see what the Lord has in mind. And remember, these people are, here's what they're armed with. A pitcher with a torch covering a torch or a fire, and a trumpet. So go for it.
Okay. Where was I? 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled.
Stop there for just a moment. So Gideon tells them that what he does for them to do it exactly in the same way. And one thing that I want to point out there in verse 17 where it says, you know, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And if you go back and look in chapter 6, on verse 16, one of the things the Lord said to Gideon was, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And here you see a people who are walking in perfect obedience, and by so doing are as one man. And they, with their lights and their trumpets, surround an armed army and stand in that. And the army runs and cries and flees. That's an amazing picture, isn't it? It's an amazing picture of what. Talk about the Lord showing up when we believe, and talking about the fruit of obedience, starting with Gideon.
And it had to be that all of those men that were with him had to be obedient unto him as well. So it had to all work together.
Yeah. And isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Amen, it is. And that's how it did work. But if it hadn't, you know, if there had not been obedient, it would not have worked.
The Lord knew what he was doing, right?
Always does.
And here you have a people that submit to it. It is what we want to choose to do too, isn't it? So there they were with torches and trumpets, and Midian was full of fear and fleeing, and they just stood, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp. So if we could just go ahead and finish this one chapter, Karen, because we have about 10 minutes left, 13 minutes. That would be great.
All right. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Berah and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Beth-Berah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeeb they slew at the winepress of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan.
I have to remember to turn the mic back on. So the 300 stood, they blew their trumpets, and the Lord set the Midianites, every man his sword against his fellow Midianite, and they fought against themselves. And they fled, and it gives us the geographical locations there. And then the men of Israel gathered themselves together. And it goes back to really the ones that had originally come, Naphtali, Asher, Manasseh, and they pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Ephraim, telling them to come down and do the same. And they took and they slew the Midianites. The people answered the call, and they went forth, and the word of the Lord came to pass. And talk about a short period of time. We're talking a couple of days with Gideon that the Lord brought him to that place. But, you know, Gideon knew the word of the Lord, and it just hadn't been quickened in him. He didn't go forward in presumption. He did what was necessary to know for sure that what he was doing right. Like I had said before, I thought it was really interesting when he asked the Lord if he would, in verse 17 of chapter 6, if he would show him a sign that he had talked with him. So the Lord did exactly what was necessary to verify to Gideon his own word that Gideon knew, the word that the Lord had spoken to him. And Gideon believed, though. Gideon was quick to believe. And Israel after him, really. One thing it reminded me of was when Davy did Jeremiah 23. Because in Jeremiah 23, in the 22nd verse, let me find that and read it. It says, I'm going to go up to 20. I hope that's the right place to start. It says, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. And you know, the chapter 6 starts out with the people who are being led by lies. And Gideon rises up and brings the word of the Lord. And Isaiah 23:22 is performed because the people hear. There is a people that will hear if there is a person that will speak. And we don't want to be a people that prophesy and the Lord hasn't sent us, or speak and the Lord hasn't told us to say it. But we do want to hear what the Lord has to say and then minister it. And there's a wonderful harvest if we will do so, and a mighty victory that is available to be had, that we have the ability to bring to our brethren who have heard the word and know the word but don't know it personally, and to those who have never even heard it yet. I open the floor up for you guys. We have about 5 more minutes.
This story here is kind of reminds you of a few different ones, one of which, of course, as you talked of, was when they took Jericho, they walked around it for 6 days, and they just walked around it. And the last day, they walked around it 7 times, and they blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down. And here again, you have, you know, men who are, as you pointed out, not armed with much in the way of weapons that are of this world, at least. But their faith in the Lord that Gideon believed in, and the fact that the Lord had spoken to Gideon and he was taking them and leading them. And, you know, the Lord is the one who delivers them. We did see it with Barak as well. The Lord is the one who delivered them. It may look like the people had some interaction, but it's really the Lord's deliverance that we get to enjoy and be part of or observe. So that's my bit.
Amen. You know, go ahead, Karen.
Well, to me, Gideon seems like, you know, he was just this guy that was at the threshing press or wherever he was. He was on the he was
wine press.
Thank you. He was at the wine press, you know, and like you said, in just that little time, the Lord showed him what, you know, he was to do. And he was just like anybody else. He was just another person that, you know, a person that he did believe the Lord. And he, you know, had his natural things where, you know, he wanted to have some kind of a sign, you know. And the Lord showed him that. And each time, as you said, Robin, each time he went through, he got a little bit stronger and a little bit more confident in the Lord that the Lord was really doing this and he is going to do this. And it was a very short time, as you said. And that's just kind of what came out to me on this story is, you know, that Gideon was, you know, he was a mighty, he saved Israel as one man, you know, and took care of the Midianites all by himself, you know, of course not by himself, but, you know, the Lord brought him through it and went before him, told him what to do, and he obeyed. And it was just, it's just a thing that shows the faith of all these characters that are in Hebrews 11. That are wonderful, faithful people in the Bible. That's it.
You know, one thing I will point out, because we know Paul lifts Gideon up as a person of faith, but so did Samuel. In the 12th chapter of 1 Samuel, let me see if I can find that real quick. Verse 10, Samuel is, it's at the time when Israel has asked for a king, and they're wrong in this, and Samuel is talking to them, and if you go down to, and he gives testimony of the Lord to these people who have rejected the Lord, and if you go down, I'm just going to read, starting at verse 8, it said, when Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, that the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and he said, and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, who we now know as Gideon, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel. He even includes himself here. And delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. So Gideon is a notable man of the Lord. There's that second testimony there. And as Davey wrote in the chat, if one of his men had not obeyed, then things would have been different. And it reminds you of that perfect man that God is calling believers to be in Christ Jesus. So we have a we have something to think about here and to, you know, get on our knees that we might become a part of that perfect man and walk in that perfect obedience. But you notice one of the things Gideon did from the beginning is he heard what God said. And I know we're coming up on the hour, so I'm going to put the music back on and wish everybody a good night. I know Karen and Megan want to too, but Gideon is an example to take a look at and meditate and see what his testimony is and to go after having the same testimony. So good night, everyone.
good night.
Good night.
We'll look forward to meeting with you again next week. And, of course, there's meetings tomorrow night. And